I am unashamed. What about you?
So last night we had Mom's big birthday bash. We kind of teased it in the last podcast, and it was good. It's kind of become a, I guess it's a new tradition. We did it at our house, and as always, there was quite the spread of grub, which was really good. Had a little bit of everything. I told somebody it was either, you know, because people are starting to think about diet and all that. So it's either carb heaven or carb hell. I can't decide. Yeah. A lot of carbohydrates.
That's what's funny. I got Missy got a card for Kay that I was going to give, and it said, I didn't realize how old you are. I think that's what, how did that go? it said, I didn't realize you were getting old. That's the front of it says.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were getting old.
All right.
And then you open it up, and it said, I was clearly wrong. Because you know how we argue, but she never says I'm wrong.
That's right.
Well, here's the funny part. She got the card. I watched her. She opened it. She didn't even read it. She just opened it. I put two $100 bills in there, put the $200 bill in her pocket, and set the card down. So then I saw her, so I was like, what do you think of my card? And she said, you know, I didn't even read that. I said, okay.
Well, you distracted her with them two hondos.
She saw the two. Then she read it, and she was like, oh, that's the funniest thing ever. It took me 50 years to get you to realize you were wrong about something. Glad I could help.
First thing she told me this morning, she said, I said, well, what'd you think about your birthday, Mom? Oh, it was so great, and, you know, I like this. And she said, the biggest surprise was Jace just came over and just hugged me big. And I said, that was surprise. She said, yeah, you know, because he's just not always a hugger. But I said, well, he was trying to make your birthday special, Mom.
No, I did.
Yeah.
So
I know somebody gave her a card. It was full of $1 bills.
That was Willie. It's like a bunch of.
It was a thick stack. I don't know how many it was. Willie's into volume, you know.
It was exactly 74.
74 $1 okay. bills.
Okay. Now you get it?
I get it now. 74 $1
bills.
That's
what I was assuming. So she liked my gift better.
She was counting them. She said 73, 74. She said, oh, Willie.
But she liked mine better. Because it was two $100 bills.
Yeah, it was.
Like, so she come out of there with $274.
She was wise enough to say, "I got $200 out of Jason," which is a shocker. And she said, "And Willie, because I'm 74, he gave me 74 $1 bills."
What's funny is Jeff was leaving town today, so odds are that $274 went right back to Texas with That's old right. Jeppico. Is probably That's what happened.
Right. Just gave it away because
he told me. He said, "Jeff said, man, I got me some poker money." He said, "I love coming home for Christmas." Mm-hmm. He said, "It's the only time I ever have any money." He said, "I usually lose it by New Year's."
Kay is kind of like a broker. You know, you realize when you give this money, you're wondering, you could actually lay bets on who ends up. It's almost like one of those, what do they call the elephant game where you...
The white elephant.
Yeah, so they were... Did you see they put me in a group text? I mean, I really want to leave that, but it's all family. So I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, which I thought was impossible in my family, but I don't know.
Well, then Willie was like playful in the text chain, which I don't know if you noticed that. It's pretty funny. Because Missy said, I'm bringing crack dip. And I knew what she meant because I've had this dip before.
That's what it's called.
I didn't know. It's amazing. It's so good.
Oh, it's good.
So they say that because it's like crack. You can't quit eating it. So that's what she said in the thing. So Willie said, "Well, I'll bring the meth salad then." So in the text chain, and Missy never even.
It's a little morbid. It is a serious problem in our society.
And then I said, "Will that affect your teeth? I'm asking for a friend." This was my contribution to the text chain. And then Willie comes right back and says, "Well, I asked Red, and he said it was safe." So, you know, it was just a.
But that is a good thing about the redneck world. We're unoffendable.
We're not unoffendable. This is like, which you is got, how we should be.
You got to laugh at yourself.
That's right.
But it is a problem. But, you know, on the way back, I thought, because you can get spiritual analysis from the outdoors. And, you know, I was looking. I just couldn't believe there were no ducks. So Si and I took a alternate route back.
Yeah.
And I got to what we call the privet hole, and I look. I mean, it's beautiful. It's flooded. There's grass. There's trees. Everything you could possibly want as a duck. And as I'm sitting there thinking, why are there no ducks there? So I went, hey, hey, hey. I looked up. I'm off the levee, you know. I'm like going. And but I didn't panic. I just eased back over. And so I was like, hey, what are you trying to kill me? And but I thought, you know, when you get distracted from the path.
Yeah.
And so then I saw the same thing, because we pull up to see if there were any doves in this field, because we have no ducks. So Si was like, let's get off the ducks and go dove hunting, because Jay had said he'd seen a bunch of doves on his field.
And let's face it, doves are better eating anyway.
So we pull out there, no doves. But I look up, I was like, Si, look at that. Can you believe? He's like, what? I mean, it was one of the biggest buck deer I've ever seen, charging straight toward us. Where I turned the wheeler off, but the wind was blowing toward us, and he was just running right toward us. I was like, he's gonna hit us. So I said, where's he at? I mean, he was literally looked like a horse. This is a ball open field,
and size,
there's a few trees,
which tells you something about what Si's seeing in the duck blind. Yeah. By the way,
so this, I said, where's he at? I said, Si, he's literally coming straight toward us. He was a couple hundred yards out, but he was running right toward it. So I said, I can't see him. So I started looking at Si, and I'm like, how can you not see this? And so when he turned broadside, he's like, oh. And he's like, that's I think he called him Flat Top or something.
Yeah, he's had, because Jay names
them. They all got them named, you know. But then the deer put his head down, and I was like, oh, he's after a doe. Of course, it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sun's out. He's in the middle of a field, oblivious to us. And it made me think of what just happened with me. When you get distracted.
Oh, yeah.
And he's chasing a girl. He's now distracted.
Luckily for him, y'all weren't after him that this day.
He would have died if I'd have had a rifle and I wanted to shoot him.
Yeah.
Because, look, he did kind of like a wagon wheel. He would take off 200 or 300 yards with his nose down on the ground. Then he would turn around and come back. Then he would move over and go 200 or 300 yards. I say, he's lost her. He's
looking for.
He kept coming back to that one spot. Well, we were just sitting there right in front of it. It was quite exciting.
Did y'all try my corn chowder last night?
I tried it. It was excellent.
So that's my winter dish. My kids like it.
So what's the recipe on that? That was one of the best. Now look, I'm gonna be honest with our family. You gotta have thick skin.
That's right.
I put your concoction at the top. Now Willie had two, and Phil accurately described. He had two slum gullions. One of them was beans.
We actually. Dad prophesied about the slum gullion, and then Willie brought
biggest pots you've ever seen in your life. One of them had beans in it, was the base, and there was all kind of meats in the beans.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
The other thing that they called a slambaya.
It was a pastalaya.
Pastalaya?
Instead of a jambalaya, it was supposedly jambalaya, but pasta instead of.
Pastalaya was not on your life. Because it was two thumbs down.
I tried a bite.
It had some kind of sweet barbecue-y type flavor.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all.
It wasn't in the neighborhood of jambalaya, especially yours.
Well, I thought when I tasted, because I ate the beans, and I thought, no, that's good.
Right.
When I tasted that, I went, that's heavy. That's too much slums and not enough gullion.
Well, the difference between you and me is I picked up the spoon and made a movement toward that dish.
Well, it wasn't the smell.
It was the look that did it for you.
It was the look. I said, no. It's a gullion.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't.
So that was funny that you prophesied that.
It was.
It came true.
So
what's the recipe on that?
So the corn chowder is interesting because the first time I ever had it, one of the worst cooks I know, Paula Godwin, no offense, I love her, but she just ain't much of a cook, you know? So she made that dish first. And so I ate some of hers. This is years ago. And I thought, this thing has the potential of being good. But I knew there had to some changes had to be made. So I asked her about what went into it. It's some dish from Kansas, blah, blah, blah. So I took her idea and created this dish. And so it's basically a potato base. There was about 10 pounds of potatoes in there. I cooked those down. That's kind of your initial base.
So what do you mean cook them down? What do you do?
Like just boil them till they're big chunks of potatoes, but then they get smaller. But
do you blend them?
Yeah. So then I put in, I boil some corn and then add the corn to that. But then I cook
like a can of corn?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Several cans. Okay. And then you use, but at the same time all this is going on, I'm cooking down onion, bell pepper, celery, garlic with some butter.
You got
the Trinity Plus. And so then that goes in. Well, that's where you get your rich flavor. By now it's getting thick.
So how are you making that? Because it's kind of a white looking, but that's the potato.
Yeah, potatoes, but then I'll tell you the finish. So you're kind of doing all this together, then it goes in, and then I just slow cook it. So it's just like a soup. It's cooking there. Then I take about 3 pounds of andouille sausage. That's where you're getting your little spice kick in there.
That was the only place the spice, because it was right. Spicy.
Yeah, it's andouille sausage. And so I brown that, add the andouille sausage to it, and then I peel about 3 pounds of shrimp. And add that in there, you know, medium sized shrimp. And so, and it only takes them 5 minutes to cook, and it's good to go. So, this is right at the end. Then I add in evaporated milk. That's where you get the white. So, it's like dumplings, you know, you get that last bit. But that's basically the dish. Of course, I'm seasoning as I'm going, but it's a really rich soup.
Great.
It was good.
It was really good. And
The
shrimp was a late add. I just started doing that.
Well, I think
last
that
year.
Was a necessity.
Yeah. Well, I'd never done it before. And my son in law, Benny, one day he said, "You ever tried shrimp in that?" And I was like, because it's always just sausage. I was like, "No, but I think that'd make it better." Started doing shrimp. So it's just kind of one of those. It's not slumgullion, but it was.
So what would you call it?
Almost gullion.
I call it corn and shrimp. Chowder is what I call it.
Okay. So, no, that was good. That was a high point.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
All right. So I think people who hear that, if you try that, but I didn't know how hard it was.
If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but I don't think I am. I think for our listeners that it's in Mom's first cookbook. I think recipes, okay. I think I put
minus
it.
Minus the shrimp.
Yeah, there won't be shrimp. Add some shrimp in there. That makes it even better. But put your shrimp in late because you don't want them to get rubbery. You know, you just want to cook them quick at the end. And that's usually the last thing I put in there.
It was real good.
So we were getting ready to gearing up for the next, you know, it's just one thing after the other. So we talked about Claire's wedding. And then we got, you know, the rest of Christmas. So it's as you said, it's a heavy docket for this week.
It is. And we have no ducks. This has been, I mean, today was the first day in years that we had a zero.
Never fired your gun?
We could have shot $1 Drake.
Yeah.
$1
We've Drake. Implemented the old saying, not but one thing we can do, eat our way out of it.
So that's why we're talking about feed.
That's right.
Not being distracted.
Yeah, eat your way out of it.
That's right.
Focus on the spiritual things in this time.
Which is good. So this is our podcast. So we realize you guys are hearing this after the first of the year, but we're still right before Christmas as we're recording this podcast, which will be our last one to record this year. But it's been a good year. 400 and this is number 403. And Jace, to your credit, I guess I've just become you because I totally missed number 400.
You missed the number.
I know. And it was normally it's a big deal to me, but I guess Jace he's influenced.
I noticed Kay, she didn't want to focus on the number. And so if you've done 400 of these, let's just not even make a thing about it.
It's just a bunch at this
point. I mean, maybe 1,000, but give us incentive to stay alive.
That's right. We're going to get to 1,000. Let's take a break. So one of our new sponsors, Jace, I'm super pumped about. I had a great conversation with him on the phone the other day. It's called 40 Days for Life, and it's a pro-life group. And I love it because every year they do this 40 days where they have prayer, fasting, and it leads up to usually the Roe v. Wade decision. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been praying for our country. And right now we've got some Supreme Court cases that, that finally for the first time could actually change and alter Roe versus Wade. And so, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, we talk about it all the time on here. It is a scourge on our nation.
It's a scourge.
And you know, millions and millions of babies have been slaughtered. So this is a great organization that is trying to change that and stem that. And Lisa and I are very engaged in the pro-life movement. And they've got a book, which is really good. It's called What to Say When, The Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion, How to Change Minds, Convert Hearts, and a Brave New World. So what they're doing is they're trying to give you material to know, because this debate goes on out there. Sometimes people aren't sure what to say. This book will really help you. Go to Amazon, or you can get it directly from 40 Days for Life at 40daysforlife.com. So I want you to check out their website, 40daysforlife.com. Find out, not just to get this book, but also find out what you can do to get involved with this great organization and help us turn this Roe v. Wade around. So we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We're kind of at the, it's interesting because we're in the Christmas season. I'm kind of having the same thing on the church side because I'm preaching right now. And we're like having our Christmas Eve service coming up. Well, normally Christmas is, you know, upbeat and Christmas songs and birth of Jesus. But since we're in our study, we're also at the other end. So you're kind of wanting to honor the birth of Jesus, but we're at the place where he, you know, gave his life, and it's, and it was brutal. I mean, there's nothing cheerful about this, you know, the kind of the way it went down.
But no, I was fixed to say.
He said, starting with Matthew 16, from that time on,
it's going to happen.
About midway in Matthew, and it's almost like that in every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus saying, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over by the Jewish big wigs to the Roman Empire,
right.
and I must die. In 3 days, I'll be buried. In 3 days, I'll be raised from the dead.
Right.
All four of them, from four different viewpoints, told the same story, so that anybody who says, well, you know, I miss Jesus. How did I miss him? I mean, tell them, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Same story four times. That way, you can't miss it.
Right.
He made it where it's pathetic for someone to say, well, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
But we live in a culture where they don't know.
Well,
but what I was going to say, Al, is you got to remember when he was introduced by the angel in Luke 2:11, which is probably what most people preach from during Christmas.
Correct.
It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, he came here with that label, Savior.
That's true.
Well, how is he going to save us?
Right.
Well, there's your tie-in.
Yeah.
And who is he? He's Christ the Lord, which is a preview to what we're going to cover.
That's funny.
Next year, if we're back this year, are we asking everybody if we should come back or are we just coming back?
I guess we're just coming back.
It almost looks like no one said, let's see. I heard what he had to say. He said he's going to go up to Jerusalem and die, be buried, and raised from the dead. Well, it looks like we're just here near it. Nobody was actually, that I can see, was convinced. Some of the women in some of the texts, they were.
Yeah, the women stuck it out.
You know, the ones who wiped the feet, she knew.
Right.
But overall, the human race.
Yeah, they missed it.
You know, when you say, but if you say to somebody, they just look around and tell you one day, look, here's the deal. Here's what I'm fixing to do. I'm going to die and be buried, but 3 days I'll be raised from the dead. That's coming up shortly.
Yep.
You know, it's almost Passover here, so you know, right before I go to Jerusalem. He's just saying it, and he's not romancing it.
No.
He's just saying it, and they're looking at him.
But you know, it's funny.
And looking at each other, saying, I mean, it's like, you know, a person you had run with for 3 years and saw a lot of amazing things, but then he comes up with this. And you're like, I don't
know. No, but you know what it was? We mentioned this yesterday, but not in this context. So the men around him, they had ears, but they weren't listening to what he was saying.
That's correct.
Because, that's why he made
because
such
they because they had it in their mind how it was really going to go. Yeah. But the women, they were just listening to what he said. And they were like, "Oh no, he's going to die!" Like
they're saying, "We're going to get rid of him." The Jews, we're going to get rid of him, and we'll be done with him.
Right.
Never did they realize when you get rid of him, 3 days later, he's back.
Yeah,
death itself couldn't hold him, and then right. That should have done it.
That's why I brought up the deer at being distracted.
Yep.
You can get tunnel vision, and even, you know, whether you're a deer or you're a human, you know, chasing a girl for, you know, late night activities in mind,
right,
and lose everything around you, including your soul,
your family, or whatever.
That's what I was saying. I mean, you can get something in your mind and just get driven, and you don't realize, I mean, like the deer I brought up, that there's a guy pointing a high-powered rifle at you, and you're, because that deer looked at us a couple times, right at us,
yeah,
and said, "I don't care. Shoot me now, but but that's why Jesus made such a big deal about the woman, Mary, who anointed him, is because she got it. I mean, he really defended her before we got to this. I mean, you know, Jesus, he's fixed to be betrayed or introduced the idea of being betrayed. But this here's this woman crying. She got it.
Yeah.
She had put two and two together and thought, he is going to die to save the world.
And I'm preparing him for the moment.
Yeah.
I want to read this before we get back to that, Jace, because you sparked my mind. This is my Christmas Eve. We do a little worship thing at before through the years, and I made that same bridge that you made, we think alike, but I did it out of Matthew 1, and here's the reason why. It says, so the Holy Spirit has to come to Joseph, you know, he has to get like a direct knowledge, because he's about to divorce Mary, mm-hmm, when he finds out she's pregnant, because he knows he hadn't slept with her. After he considered this, Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." He's saying this is supernatural. I get it. I get your suspicions, but this is supernatural. "She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus." And then in the margin, it says Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, Yeshua, they used to call it, which means the Lord saves. So literally his name means the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "You also call him Emmanuel," which is God with us. So the idea is this is God in flesh.
The ones who said we will cancel him, because we have a whole culture now that goes around canceling people. The Jews thought this is his cancellation. He's done.
Right.
Well, what they didn't realize is that he uncanceled them if they wanted him.
That's right. Which, is, by the way, is kind of the theme of Dad's new book, Uncancel.
I say it over and over and over, what we're discussing right here, because people keep coming up and they keep missing Jesus, and it's
Oh, when you think about it, the ultimate cancel is you kill somebody.
Right.
You cancel.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then all of a sudden he went, uncancel.
That's right. Unless they come back. Yeah. And then you didn't cancel anything.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting?
What I'm going to do, if you just believe it, you'll be saved, and none of the dreadful things that you've done as a human being dating back to your high school years, all of that will be wiped away. I'll cancel the written code that you're under, the law of Moses. It will be canceled. It was against us. It was opposed. None of us kept it. He says, "I'm going to get you out from under all that, and it's the system I'm giving you is grace, and you certainly don't have to be perfect, because I'm going to make you perfect if you'll just trust me." You talk about but it was a hard sale, Al.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
How many times have you heard of somebody dying and it saved the world? I mean.
Never.
Once.
I mean, except this one.
This is it.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's the only time I've ever read a story. Out of all the stories I've ever read, I've looked through them. None have come up to this at all.
That's funny you said that. I read a book one time, and there was a story in the book. I think it was a Swindoll book, about this guy in Brazil back in the 70s that decided he wanted to be crucified he was going to sacrifice himself for world peace. So in other words, the world's a dangerous place. So yep. he was trying to get attention. I'm going to give my life. And so someone, they nailed him to a cross or a tree. And they said they had to take him down 8 hours later because he was dehydrated and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, that's what happens when somebody, just one of us, decides we're going to put an end to, you know, world conflict through our crucifixion.
Yeah.
They eventually take you down because, you know.
But you still got to remember the stories are one thing, because a lot of times it is a story, but it's a story of a real living present being.
Correct.
It's like, you know, I remember one time I was, because a lot of people show up at Duck Commander with the illusion that they're going to meet like somebody on
from the show.
And you say, what do you mean illusion? Well, because most of the time I'm not hanging out in the parking lot waiting for large buses of people. It's just I'm kind of avoiding that situation without avoiding it. But I remember I was walking out and I went around the bend and I didn't realize a bus had just unloaded. And so I was like, oh boy. Well, once I'm there, I'm not going to be rude. So yeah. I was taking pictures. And one of them was like, well, I had Si in the truck, but they didn't know it. I was protecting him. But they were like, well, tell us some Si stories. And I kind of thought about this point that I'm making there, because I thought, you know what would be better is if I just went and got it.
He's just around.
Let him tell you this story. But I just remember thinking that from a Jesus perspective. Because you can tell people about Jesus, but the greatest thing you can do is introduce them to Jesus in a real way that they experience it for themselves. It's like, well, he's not a million miles away. I'm not just going to, he didn't put a formula down for you to follow without it being a letter
right.
from him. He arranges meetings right. and he's active. He's living, you know, the verse that comes to mind is the living and active.
Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah. But I was trying to make, when Phil said that, I thought that, which is what I think what should separate us in what we do at the church, as opposed to just the world of like thinking about Jesus's birth. Cause I think a lot of people tell the story, but I think it's better what you said to tie it back. He's the savior of the world.
Right.
Present.
And it has tense. It has to be personal for every person. Hang on, Jace, let's take a break. So Jace, have you ever had that moment? You're over that putt. It's going to win you that skin or win the match. If you just make this putt, it's all there. And then as you're going back, your hair falls down into your eyes and it makes you miss the putt. Have you ever experienced
that? That's why I have the helmet liner.
to keep that from happening. Actually, he has to put his hair under his hat when we play golf. Well, if that's how you're running your business, poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated financial software, we've got something for you. One of our sponsors is a group called NetSuite by Oracle, and you can upgrade to these guys. They're the number one cloud financial system that powers your growth. They can help you with your financials, your HR, your planning, your budgeting, all these things. They can automate your process. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after they upgraded to NetSuite. So you want to check these guys out. They've already helped over 28,000 businesses that have upgraded to them. NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade. Go to NetSuite, NetSuite.com/Phil. NetSuite.com/Phil for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing business. NetSuite.com/Phil.
He's alive and well.
Yeah.
And present.
That's right.
And so I think when that hits people, that's what moves them.
And right. You know what's interesting, and even generationally, because we all have adult children, and when you see your child, you saw us, Dad, had to figure that out on our own. Like, you knew it well, but then each one of us had to figure it out on our own. to have a relationship with Christ. And then you have kids and you raise them up and you're teaching them the right things. And then you see them hit that moment where they recognize and sin moves in, and it's going to move in on everybody.
It's a critical moment.
It is. And then they have to figure out on their own, you know, is he mm-hmm. going to be real? Is he going to be personal? Or am I just going to be a fake?
Yeah. But everybody sins. But there's also times where, you know, if you're acting one way at a church service and you've like compartmentalized Jesus into just, this is a story that we can't come and discuss. And then you immediately walk in. You remember that passage in James that says it's like God looking in the mirror. Then he walks away and immediately forgot what he looked like.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, dropping F-bombs in the parking lot right after the service.
Right.
Even though we all sin and we all struggle and God's grace is there, something about that seems fishy.
Yeah.
There's not a connection to a real living
right.
God in that moment.
Right. Or it's like when you hear a story about somebody you respected. I mean, like, they put out really good stuff that helped you spiritually. And then you find out they were living a whole double life, sinful, like, against their family, mm-hmm. against God. And you're just like, man, how would you?
Because way back in their mind, I bring it up in the book, is that he's not real.
Exactly.
So when you're dealing with something not reality,
right,
you can go out and you can do this right here and go to the parking lot and you're a totally different person.
Right.
He's not real to you.
That's my point. That's why I'm always.
That's why he said he's
present. And that's why just being around it is not good enough. Because, I mean, you'll see a pastor that a lot of people listen to and grew spiritually because, and then you find out he's had multiple affairs, he's been taking advantage of people in the church, and you're like, who was this person? He was around the right thing, but internally, he did not love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength.
That is correct.
He wouldn't have been doing what he was doing, you know, just out.
Well, it just gets back to what I was saying. You can hear the greatest, like, we're hunters. You can hear the greatest duck hunting story ever. I mean, we got a lot of good ones about things that happened. And you could even adopt that story and share it to other people, and they'd be like, wow, that's incredible. But if you didn't really experience it, there's some hollowness there.
Yeah.
You know, if you took the story as your own, but you really didn't experience it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Then I think that's what people do. I'm real careful about saying, let me tell you a story and tell about Jesus. I mean, even in I think the words are important. You know, I'm like, I'm going to introduce you to a real living being that created you and loves you
right
now and wants to work in your life.
Right.
And help you live forever. I just think even using that kind of verbiage has more impact on people.
Well, and I think you're right. And I think we're living in an era now where it's becoming easier and easier to live a fake life. I mean, there are people that are on social media and the internet, they never expose who they really
are.
It's an illusion. Their whole life is
That's why as they go forth, each one of them, once you do not retain the knowledge of God, he gives you over to a depraved mind. You didn't retain the knowledge in here. It's not stored up.
Right.
You
of the being of God.
Of God. God. It's not there.
That's why when, you know, y'all were talking about canceling earlier, I know we're chasing rabbits here, but I think this is a good point. And another thing, when Jesus came, the benefit we get from that, Colossians 2:9 said, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Well, the only thing you can think of is that he gave you access to the relationship of the Trinity.
That's right.
The deity, God, the Father, Jesus as your Lord, and the Holy Spirit as counselor or one of the other names, maybe comforter, counselor.
Mm. Yep.
So it's like
God.
He's the one through the Holy Spirit, Paul writing that made it personal. I mean, why would he say, and you've been given fullness in Christ because all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. It's like, that was his only point. You have access to the real living God, to his real spirit,
right,
to him as your Lord. Well, then, and you know where I'm going with this, and it was like, well, he saved you because in the putting off of your sinful nature, and then it talked about how we surrender to that in baptism in 2:12 of Colossians. But then he says, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us. And so you haven't taken away now to the cross, but you see where I'm going with that. God cancels the not the document, but just the form that entrapped us in our sin, because right. The legal view of things. We have right and wrong. We choose wrong. What? Penalty. There must be, or he wouldn't be just. And he's like, I canceled that through Jesus and his salvation on a cross, nailing it to the cross.
Right.
I mean, so to me, when he said, going back to Luke 2, when he said Savior of the world, I mean, we're going so far down into what that means here that he doesn't cancel people. He loves people.
Right.
He canceled the thing that was causing all the problems in the, to start with.
Exactly.
You know, not that it was the problem. We were the problem, but
that's
he's like,
it's called you've been set free.
That's right.
Set free.
But a lot of people in the church who have had this canceled by the grace of God
try to put themselves back
under. Try to put themselves back under.
Yep.
Let's take a break. So, Jace, you've got quite the helmet hat on there. It's protecting you. Is it warm?
Yeah, it's warm. And it kind of takes me back to...
Your Scottish roots.
They had these kind of...
Now, a lot of times people wear warm hats in the winter because they don't have any hair. And so it's the only way to keep your head warm. You have hair, and you still have the warm hat on, which is good. You've got both. For you guys out there that are losing the hair, one of our sponsors is here to help you to have double protection, just like Jay's. They're called Keeps. They offer a doctor-recommended, FDA-approved hair treatment. They've got more 5-star reviews than any of their competitors, and you only pay about half the cost. There's a licensed doctor, reviews your info. They keep track of your progress. So you want to check these guys out to hold on to your hair. They can't help you once it's already gone.
So maybe one day you could do this. You could go.
Look at there.
I have a problem.
Too much hair. Go to Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. You're going to get it 50% off your first order. That's Keeps.com/door, and you'll look like Jace. So, Jace,
see it all the time.
You encapsulated, really, in that one little statement, the entire message of Matthew, and that is all things fulfilled in Christ. So then we can be fulfilled in him. I mean, that's the idea. Is he said, that's why I came to fulfill everything. The law, the prophets, all prophecy, everything.
And he
is
made
fulfilled.
It clear when the Gabriel was talking to Mary, one of the things he said, I think it's in Luke, the same story as Matthew had. But the point was, nothing is impossible for God.
That's right.
Because you said, well, that's quite the story, that I'm going to be delivered and set free, and the written code has been canceled for me. I'm not under law anymore. I'm under grace. God's not counting my sins against me. Mm-hmm. Constant mediating work. Jesus at the right hand of God. Man, it's time to jump up and down here.
Right.
But if that's not a reality to you,
right,
you will live in an unreality world.
That's right.
It's you.
And it happens every single day. Like Jay said, well, inside and outside.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying. So really, if you take your mind into this crowd that is out there hollering for Barabbas,
yep,
and you know
the cancel culture.
If you look at their signs, if you could make imaginary signs of what they would have had, because a riot has happened. We're canceling Jesus.
Yep,
crucified.
You know, fake king, or just come up with the slogans.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality, when you read Colossians 2, we should be with signs saying, cancel the code.
Yeah.
You know,
use sayings like, get that Bible out of my britches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
not realize. And they're saying, I'm not doing anything wrong here. And so, and you're showing me what Jesus said about it. And he says, you don't want to go down that path. You need to get
this
out of that.
This is not good.
Yes, not good. So the reality of him is not there. Right. He's not real.
No, but they do, to Jason's point, they do what we see in the story. You saw it first with the mob, and then you see the leadership. Everybody's got their little say.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then finally it gets to 27:11. This is where we left off last time. And you got the last guy, really and truly the only guy who had power in this whole story is the Roman governor. I mean, his word is ultimate in their setting. But what he didn't realize is he's standing in front of the Son of God. So he really was a pretender.
Who is the truth.
He is the truth.
On so, everything.
So what he asked him is in the Matthew account, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, yes, it is as you say. But I like the John account better because John goes into a little more detail of what Jesus actually said because it's much more powerful. He said, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Because you remember, he's talking to this Gentile who's just trying to make this go away. That's Pilate's point. He doesn't care about this. He doesn't have a dog in it, hunt, other than there's a riot going on. And he knows, though, this guy doesn't seem to be what they're saying he is. So he says, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. Which you need to think about Pilate. He's looking at this thinking, what is he talking about? He's crazy.
Well, he probably just thought he meant, like,
maybe
somewhere
was,
in the,
maybe it's a foreigner. Maybe he
well,
came
right,
from, yeah, right.
But he's probably thinking, well, I thought you were from another place. He probably thought he went on a mission trip somewhere to help somebody.
Right. That's right.
And he discovered a way to make a kingdom of some sort. And like, but he's like, well, your army, you have no army.
Right.
You have no powers.
Where's your weapons?
Well, he starts by saying you're king of Jews. So when Jesus says that, he says in John, this is John 18:37, you are a king then. In other words, okay, and I'm getting somewhere now. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king.
Yeah, and so you say.
So you
basically
say.
He, and I think even that first translation where it says it is as you say. He every time he was asked that question, he was basically responding.
A question with a question.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you say.
So you say. Then he said, in fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is, and he just bypasses the king part and says, is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, which what a statement. That is such a powerful statement for all time.
But it's troubling because immediately that triggers response. How do you know who's telling the truth?
And that's what Pilate said. What is truth? In other words, he's looking at saying, I got a reality here I'm trying to deal with. I got these Jewish leaders. They're breathing down my neck. The people are saying they want you dead. What am I supposed to do here? So he comes up with the plan about Barabbas because this is the way politicians think. He said, okay, oh, I got it. Everybody's going to win here. Because somebody's going to die. The crowd's bloodthirsty. I got this guy over here who's terrible. Everybody knows what a what a terrible person he is. And so I'm going to set one of them free, and they'll surely choose the guy who's terrible, not this other guy.
But, I mean, I think when you research – well, he was basically leading an insurrection. You know, they say he's a murderer. I mean, most scholars say it's because he was leading people and murdering people, but out of protest – for paying taxes so some people thought, even though they weren't condoning what he did, they do agree that Rome has just is hovering over. So it's like he had sympathizers. Is my point. I think that was the path, and I agree with that assessment. I think he was probably somebody that people deep down thought, well, yeah. I mean, even though it's not right to do that. From a godly law perspective, I mean, definitely understand why.
Right.
I mean, they pushed us to a corner with all this taxation. I mean, I really think that was the path for them to say, well, give us him. I mean, at least he's trying. Because you think about it, that would make more sense about the contrast. Because here's this king who's not doing anything. And just to use this as an illustration, Peter gets out his sword and finally decides to do something, cuts a guy's ear off, and he puts it back on. I mean, how terrible is that?
Again, that's a long way from Braveheart, which we talked about. So let's take our last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So here's the point, though, Jace. In verse 18 and 27, Pilate, in his thinking, says he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. Now, I think he's talking about the Jewish leaders, but he recognizes, you know, this guy, Pilate's smart. You don't become a Roman governor in that era by not being a smart guy. He knows the score here. He doesn't understand who Jesus is, but he gets it that this brood of vipers over here, he's like, these guys. I mean, he saw right through those Jewish leaders.
But he's never going to acknowledge. I mean, it was kind of unfair for him to be in this situation.
It was.
He's talking about the Son of God, who is truth.
Right.
He's looking at a narrative that he can debate, argue, and figure out on whether it's true, because that's the way most people think. People just think, well, you tell me your argument, I'll tell you mine, and we'll figure out which is true. But Jesus was like, he's already made a mockery of that, because he said, I am the truth. I embody, I'm a body that speaks truth, because I just am truth.
Yeah.
Well, the only way you would acknowledge that is if you start digging deeper, watching him and experiencing how he operates, and you'll think, whatever he says is true.
That's right.
Whatever it is, even if I can't wrap my head around it.
So there's two things that happened this day which are interesting. One is we learn that Herod, who was the king of Israel, but in name only, because the Romans are really running the show, he became friends with Pilate over Jesus. They had a relationship from this point going forward. That was just a political intrigue. But here was the other thing I found interesting. Matthew says in verse 19, while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, in other words, he's trying to figure out, how do I get out of this with the least amount of trouble? His wife sends him a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. Now, I find that fascinating because you know, everybody says, oh, well, there's nothing, you know, this thing was all predestined and Pilate had a role to play and nothing's going to change that. And, you know, that's the whole idea. But so what about this dream? Where did that come from? Why did she have it? And why did she send a warning to her husband? Don't do this.
And why do you go to other history books that later showed her as a believer?
Right.
Because it changed her life.
It did.
Because, you know, she put two and two together. Now, why did God allow the spiritual world, I guess, to have that dream? I don't, that's a more difficult answer.
Right.
But I don't have to know.
No.
You know,
I find it fascinating that he's just trying to solve an issue here in his political life, but she introduces a spiritual theme about this thing. And you know, he's like, it's his wife. So,
oh, he's probably thinking, what in the world?
What's happening here? That's exactly right. He had to be. And that's why the next thing he does, when they just insist, they go out, they get the crowd whipped up. No, we want Jesus crucified. And he brings out a thing of water and says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm washing my hands of this whole thing.
I agree. I think it escalated in his mind because his wife's having a dream. My wife said, look, I had a dream about this. You need to stay away from that.
That would get your attention, right?
Oh, I'd be like, that's unusual. And I already didn't. He already probably, as a decision maker and a leader, he didn't feel good about it anyway, because you got to remember, no matter what you read or think, Jesus was innocent. He didn't do anything.
Correct.
So Pilate's instincts were right.
Yep.
Because that's what he was looking for, the smoking gun. There wasn't even a gun.
or any smoke.
No smoke, no gun. We just got nothing.
That's right.
And but I do think it is applicable to our society today about counseling people and what you can whip people up into doing and saying.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it.
That's right.
The same mode. I mean, yeah. What actually happened is irrelevant. That's what bothers me so much about politics and why I just try to, you know, vote for whichever way I think the most godly principles will come out. Because basically in our society, whatever camp you're in, they're just going to defend their side no matter what the truth is.
Irrelevant.
It is optional. I mean, they're not
in the book. In the book, I mentioned that the definition of truth, you know, in 1860 was far different than the definition of truth in modern day dictionaries.
Yeah.
You know, basically the truth is an issue which most people agree. That's right. I mean, it's lightweight.
Yeah.
You know when what's his name, the old boy, he was the school system czar, you know, when the country was just founded, you know, his definition was, you know, Bible.
Yeah.
Bible.
I mean, Webster.
Yeah. Daniel Webster.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? I think you're right, Phil. If you water down so much, you'll come a day when that you'll read the internet, because the internet, you can put your own definition on a lot of websites.
That's right.
Remember, social media is married to this cancel culture. They're married to them.
That's right.
And well, because it's
two pronged.
It's an easy way, because you don't have social media, so you don't know.
Because see,
it's an easier way to attack.
You have your truth, but I have mine, and here's mine.
Right.
Well. They
my
don't
truth
realize
says this.
Somebody, one or the other does not have it. If you're on the God side, you're like, oh, I know who the truth is. I follow him. Everything he does and has ever said
it's
or
actually
ever will
a
say
person.
Is truth. Yeah. But and then they've got to say, well, that's not my truth. You know, my truth is, you know, get that Bible out of my britches, because I'd be immoral all day long, and you can't do anything about it. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, my truth, your truth.
My truth says, hey, no, go for it.
So that's why the pilot question, 2,000 years
it's later. It's actually an unreal. It's not real.
Yeah. But look how far you'll go, though, Dad. So he says, I'm innocent of this man's blood, as he's washing his hands. It is your responsibility. He tells the people this. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children.
Yeah.
I mean,
a few years later, Stephen got up and clarified what he meant by that.
That's right.
And then you stiff-necked. He said, now you murdered all the prophets. Now you've turned and murdered the Savior of the world.
As Jace described a few podcasts ago, less than 40 years later, blood ran in the streets.
That's it.
Of them and their children.
That's correct.
This, when he said, look, let me double down. I'm coming in judgment. And, you know, on the clouds of you know, glory, that's what he meant, you know, and this is what happened. But what I'm saying is it's amazing that you would make a statement like that, and you'd just been whipped into a frenzy. They didn't know. Most of these people had been sitting out there listening to him.
Yeah.
And he told him, he said, you've been sitting listening to me for the last 3 years. Now you come at me with clubs and swords? Mm. You know, what changed?
Which one of you can prove me guilty of sin?
Yeah, exactly. So it closes, and I guess we will too. It says, then Pilate releases Barabbas to them. So they get the thug. He's out, which, again, sounds very familiar to what's going on today. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. So the last political fix is really no fix at all, because Jesus was going to do what he came to do.
And the same thing applies today.
It does. And you come up with these same mindsets, you know? Let the criminals out, you know, but people that we want to protest against this, against that, against, you know, systemic, whatever. It just, I marveled at this text when I saw how similar 2,000 years later people can live in the same mindset.
Same mindset.
How little it's changed. It really is something to see. And that pretenders think they have all the power. So, all right. So I guess when we come back, we'll finish up we get to the cross and then the tomb. And eventually we're going to wind up in, we're going to study 1 and 2 Corinthians, which I'm super excited about. that's kind of where we're headed from here. We haven't done really one of the epistles yet, so I think the Corinthian story is pretty amazing.
Why not just
dive
start
in.
Off with a doozy?
That's right. The year of the doozy. That's what we'll call it.
I mean, join us for that, and you'll feel better about your church.
That's right. And by the way, they were started out. They said, you are brothers. You are saved. You are... So it tells you something
when
about
you say, I'll tell you this place we got. Well, could be Corinth. Could have been worse.
All right. We'll try to do better next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.